There we go. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the August 6th meeting of the Board of Education for D303. Mrs. Retch, will you take the roll call, please?
Mrs. Fairkree.
Here.
Mrs. Linkemer.
Here.
Mr. Manheim.
Here.
Mr. McNally.
Here.
Mr. Noling is absent. Ms. Weibel.
Here.
And Mrs. Yule.
Here. I would just say that Scott Noling deeply regrets that he isn't here at this meeting, his first meeting as a newly seated board member, but he had a long-planned family trip, and this is the rare instance where we've changed Mondays on him, so took him by surprise, but we'll see him in September. Would you all join me in the Pledge of Allegiance? Well, thank you all for coming. This is the last meeting of the summer, which means it's basically the start of the school year. We're all excited about the coming school year. We hear that everything is on track, and we're ready to welcome our kids back in 16 days. 16 days. So, that said, I will see if there are any citizen comments. Mrs. Linkemer, would you read our statement? We read it every meeting.
The school code provides for a public comment period at each board meeting subject to reasonable constraints. The practice of this board is to limit public comment to 3 minutes per speaker to a total of 30 minutes per meeting. Speakers addressing the board are expected to maintain a reasonable level of civility. Also, personnel matters are sensitive and confidential. Comments regarding individuals should be respectful. Insults and defamatory remarks have no place in this setting. The board will terminate public comment if speakers cannot adhere to these guidelines. Please identify yourself at the beginning of your remarks.
Thank you, Mrs. Linkemer. The first speaker is Michelle Thompson, speaking on committee hearings, meetings.
Michelle Thompson, we're asking that the district records and posts all committee meetings. Committee meetings are key times in the evening when parents are either still working or driving their kids to activities. Parents who cannot attend meetings need to have access to that information in order to stay connected to our district and to stay informed about what's going on in their schools. Parents want access to the information at the committee meetings. Neighboring districts provide recordings and or videos of their committee meetings. So we're just asking, please provide the recordings of the committee meetings to the public this year. It would be a great addition. Thank you.
Thank you. The second speaker is L. DeFelice. Did I get that right? DeFelice. I tried. Welcome. Speaking on building security. Welcome.
Thank you. I just have one question. I have an incoming freshman at North, and I'm worried about security. I know it's a financial. There's going to be a few years until we get to the place where we want to get. But I'd like to know. I tried to look on the website to see what has changed from last year to this year. I couldn't find anything, and that's all I'm asking for, just to keep abreast of the changes going on at each one of the schools. Eventually, they're all going to be the same, I would imagine, but that's it.
Well, thank you for coming. Actually, you're quite right. A lot has been going on, and someone from administration will fill you in on what we can fill you in on. Okay. Even the board doesn't know all the pertinent details, but for security's sake. But thank you for coming up. And that is it for citizen comments. Next on the agenda is the superintendent's report. Dr. Pearson.
Well, good evening. As you have mentioned already this evening, Mrs. Huell, we are just a couple of weeks away from the start of school here in District 303, and this is the time of year when we're making final preparations for our students to arrive. I did want to just update you on a couple of things. First of all, our enrollment is right on track with our projections. You know, Mr. Shazar and his department has worked tirelessly to track our birth data and to really begin to give us really good information about our enrollment. And those projections have come in really close to on track every year for the last couple of years, and this year is the same. So right now we have actually enrolled, this is kindergarten through 12th grade, 11,923 students. We had projected 11,936 students, so we're just 13 students under our projection.
But
now,
it's early.
We will clearly have some students register between now and then, and we probably will go slightly over that number, but it's nice to know that from a planning perspective that with Mr. Shazar's assistance, we've been able to plan for the number of students that come to our district. So that's helpful. Interestingly enough, kindergarten, which is kind of one of our touch points every year, we estimated 722 kindergartners, and right now we have 720 registered. So kind of in all of our grades and areas, we are tracking kind of what we anticipated. I did also want to just mention in general, you know that last year you did approve some additional positions for elementary school to help us lower our class size at that level. To date, we've hired 8.5 of those 10 positions that you approved. So far, none of our class sizes exceed 27 students, and we do not have any students that are involved in a cap and send situation. So it's a very positive scenario for us. That's not typical toward the position that we're normally in this time of year. We are typically having to close off sections in our schools, so we appreciate you taking the opportunity with the repurposing of Fox Ridge and the boundaries to help us realign those so that our classes are a little more balanced across the district. And we'll continue to watch those over the next couple of weeks as we have those last minute enrollment changes that occur. I also want to mention that on Monday, our new Educator Academy begins for all of our new teachers to the district. This year, we have 44 new educators that will be participating in our new Educator Academy. It's amazing to me every year to see how many we have. D303, you know, 10, 15 years ago had over 100, almost 200 new teachers. And during this time of stability, we still seem to have, you know, somewhere around 50 to 75 teachers. So this number of 44 is kind of in that same ballpark and what we typically expect, even with our declining enrollment. You may have noticed that we have a new district website that you had approved last year. We did do a soft launch for that of the 1st of August. It really is a significant improvement for our website. One of the key features that is really, there's two things that make it really great. One is that it's mobile accessible, so that if you pull up the website on your mobile device, the way that it's organized, you can see the content. It arranges it in an appropriate fashion. The other thing that's really nice is it's also accessible. So people that have accessibility challenges and they need assistance in accessing web content, that is a requirement for us to have an accessible website, and it is accessible as well. So I just wanted to say thank you to Mr. Smith's department and Mrs. Smith's department, Mr. and Mrs. Smith, not related, have worked really hard to get that up and going for us, and so we appreciate the time that they've spent. Clearly, we're going to continue to find things that we want to fine-tune and tweak, but we were able to launch that, and our partner organization has been really responsive in helping us address any concerns that we have identified. So thank you for that, and it just makes it's about impressions, and it gives a really good impression of our district when people have, that's their first encounter with our school system. So I appreciate the work that's been put into that. We have also with us tonight Mr. Richter, our principal at St. Charles East High School, and he would like to do a quick introduction for us.
You guys, I'm excited to be joining District 303 and the East High School. Thank the board for the opportunity. Mr. Pearson, Mr. Moore, and obviously Principal Richter. I've been in the building for a few days. We're doing a lot of work related to social emotional learning with our SIT team, and then working on a lot of academic things for this upcoming school year. So I'm excited to be part of this.
All right. Ms. Huell, that concludes the superintendent's report.
Thank you very much, Dr. Pearson.
Sir, I have a quick question. Is it okay for Dr. Pearson? Mm-hmm. So I'm so excited about the new website and want to scream it from the rooftop. Mm-hmm. So, and it's a very proud moment. So are we going to have like a hard rollout? Sure. I don't know what it's called, or where we're going to do a publication of emails out to parents and community and something, or
yes, we are going to highlight it with our stakeholders and constituents, but like I said, we wanted to have just a couple weeks to work some of the bugs out, and so we'll do that right either coordinating with the start of school or right thereafter.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, but you can shout it to the rooftop when it happens. We've got some rooftops right over there that are handy and open. The next item on the agenda are the committee reports, and just before I do that, I would like to just take a second to reiterate to board members and community that we will be finalizing the days, dates, times for our committee meetings at our workshop on the 18th. I know that many of you are anxious to have that done or have it in your calendars, but we've waited this long. We should wait to all be together to work on the various issues that we're trying to get through to make sure that those meetings are efficient and accessible and to the satisfaction of this group. And so we will work on that on the 18th and hopefully have it posted on the 20th. That's a goal. Okay, thank you very much. So the first committee to look at would be, we'll start with business services because you're all over this agenda. Mr. Mannheim.
Thank you. Yes, we met on Thursday, July 26th. And as usual, we heard the financial reports for Mid Valley as well as D303. Our next item, which will be on for consent tonight, is the annual PSAT testing, and that is a renewal. Our next item, which we had a lot of discussion about, is help me if I'm saying this right, ICRIS by ICRA, we're saying. So it's a new tool that is on for consent tonight, and it'll help help the staff and students and leadership teams all kind of come together and see how students are progressing. So it's kind of exciting, so we're excited to see how this plays out in the next year. So that's on for consent. Our next item is the FastBridge progress monitoring tool. And I forgot my notes, so I'm kind of skimming through it here. So that is for the social-emotional learning standards for students. Then our next item is the Embrace RTL, and that is for the IEP 504. That's on for consent. What's that?
It's RTI, but it looks like an L.
Oh. Sorry. Then our next item is one of our action items, and we heard the final draft for the fiscal year 2018-19 D303 budget, and tonight we'll be taking action to put that on public display. And that's the reason we're meeting a week earlier, so that we have our 30 days for our next board meeting. As well as on action tonight is the final draft of the Mid-Valley Special Ed Cooperative Budget. And same thing, we'll be taking action to put it on public display. Our next item that'll be on for consent is the wireless access points. And this is a continuation of a project we started a year ago, upgrading our wireless in all of our buildings. And that's on for consent. Our next item is the iPad replacement. On for consent. And then our last item that's on for consent is the award of contract for the First and Creek basketball backboard replacement. And it's worth noting that St. Charles Storm donated $15,000 for this project. So that's an exciting, thing we have going with Storm. And then our last item was the construction update. Mr. Lamp and Mr. Baer gives an update on how we're progressing with Thompson, and you and I went on a tour of it and making good progress and getting things ready and for the next couple of weeks. So the first phase is moving along, and it's exciting. So it'll be exciting to see it first day. And that is it.
Thank you. Actually, I was going to ask Dr. Pearson, are we still on track?
We
or we are on track.
That was 2 weeks ago, so who knows?
I am over there every day, and they're working really hard. They've got a lot to do, but I think we're going to be in good shape.
Thank you very much. So that's the only board committee, but I will ask for learning and teaching. You have a meeting coming up. Do you want to introduce it at all, or
just
the mic?
Most of the items that would have been on L&T this last time, we only had a few items, and we shifted them over to business services because they involved contract renewals and things like that. So we shifted them because we had, of course, a special meeting. Our next meeting, I believe, is the 20th. I think we're kind of keeping to that third Monday of the month. So, pardon?
5 p.m.,
yeah. That's a slight departure. We've been going at 5:30 for some and 5 for others, so we're 5 o'clock for now.
For now. Thank you. But that's good, because that one's coming up soon.
Yes.
Okay, thank you very much. Thank you for putting some of those items on business services and kind of saving us that slot.
But we have to do L&T meetings now.
Yes, we do. Because now
we can't get
starts.
Behind anymore.
Our homework.
No, and it was, I know, it was a necessary thing. It was an unusual circumstance, so I know we had to do that.
Mm-hmm. I think it was perfect, really.
But it was probably the best timing if we had to reschedule a meeting because there were not a lot of heavy items, and those could all legitimately been pushed over to a different committee. So we'll be back at it and be going regular. Mm-hmm. From now on, so.
Okay. Thank you very much, then. Ms. Weibel has a report from Housing Commission and maybe one or two other things.
Thank you, Madam President. Okay, so Housing Commission actually, it's the St. Charles Housing Commission, City of St. Charles Housing Commission. We actually met, I don't even remember when now, probably June. But with our summer schedule, my personal schedule, it's been a little bit delayed, so thank you for that. So I just wanted to announce that we have an intergovernmental agreement with the King County, so Housing Division. So what we're doing is the City Council has approved, by our recommendation, a budget allocation of $500,000 of our budget. So we have about the City of St. Charles. Our meaning the Housing Commission. Our. So the Housing Commission has about $750,000 in their budget, and we have allocated $500,000 of it to be used in conjunction in an intergovernmental agreement with the King County Housing so we can do bigger projects. So out of that $500,000, $416,000 has been allocated for the Affordable Housing Fund, and I'll explain what each of these do, and then $42,000 has been allocated for the Down Payment Assistance Fund, and $42,000 for the Home Rehab Program. So each of those programs, typically, they have come to St. Charles, and they have asked us to allocate them funds for people in St. Charles. And there's different parameters they have to qualify for. For instance, the Home Rehab, they have to qualify in a certain income bracket, I believe, and there's different qualifications. And they can get up to $10,000 in Home Rehab assistance. And then for down payment assistance, it's the same threshold. It's either 10 or 20. I can't remember. Sorry. And then for Affordable Housing Fund, someone can come and build a project that would be affordable housing. So in the past, we couldn't fund a very large project under the City of St. Charles. By we, I mean the Housing Commission of St. Charles, because really 750 really can't help fund a very large project, right? So if we do it in conjunction with the county, then we can allocate more monies to the agency that wants to build an affordable housing, apartment complex or whatever they want to build. So everything that comes to the King County for approval for the City of St. Charles, we have to approve. So it comes through, we'll get all requests for projects for the use of the city funds through the Housing Commission, and we approve, and then they can use our portion of the city funds and then the portion of the county funds for affordable housing. So it's a great partnership because it can help actually get something to fruition instead of giving someone such a minute slice of the pie that they can't do much with it. Does that make sense? So does anyone have any questions with that? So it's kind of an exciting intergovernmental agreement for us to help more people in the city of St. Charles, as well as help builders kind of be more incentivized. So to get the word out that there's more opportunity in the city of St. Charles for assistance. All right, so that's the housing. And then the other thing I wanted to talk about, and Mr. Moore, feel free to jump in here. I was invited to be in the opioid task force as a member of the City of St. Charles Mental Health Commission. And Mr. Moore went on behalf of District 303. So it was kind of neat because we were both there, and I got to wear my dual hats as a board member as well. So what the county did, let me step back here and say that they started a task force for the King County that consisted of hospitals, schools, judicial, police task force. Who else was on there?
Coroner,
thank you. Governmental agencies, sheriff. And we talked about kind of what's the basic issue with opioids in King County. And Barb Jeffers, who is the Department of Health director for the county, said that opioid deaths affect more people in the county, second to car accidents. So that was pretty shocking. So other than car accident deaths, the next set of deaths for statistics is opioid deaths. And when she spoke to the U.S. Surgeon General, who came in this May and met with our King County staff, coroner's office, Department of Public Health, etc., he said, "You will never have enough money to fight this fight." So it was really kind of an eye-opening discussion. So they talked about why are we here. Some of the statistics were that there's 116 daily deaths in the U.S. And you can jump in if my stats are wrong here. 471 deaths from 2003 to 2017 in King County, and 113 of those in the past 2 years. In King County itself, I'm just going to do a couple stats and then I'll just move on, but we like stats here. We're all about data. So in 2014 to 2017, King County is the largest growth of deaths percentage-wise next to Cook County in the Chicagoland area, which was pretty shocking. So it really is an issue for the county to kind of focus on and look at. So that was very interesting. So they had a lot of different speakers come in, from the chief of police to several of our agencies and organizations that we actually fund through the city as well for mental health. And then we had some people from the hospitals and education speak as well. And then we started a massive list of how do we address the gap. And that's kind of where we left off for brainstorming. We got into small groups about how we're addressing the gap in brainstorming for our next session, which is going to be at the end of September. So it's kind of exciting, the beginning of this task force, and I think it's going to end up doing a lot of good. So we came up with ideas of what we could do. Some of the ideas were ID what is happening and where it's happening, pill drop centers, Narcan for school and school nurses. They talked about more education, more education, more education. That what came up again and again at every level, at schools, with parents, in the community. So I know that will be a topic of conversation, and that will overlap both of our areas, the city and the school. So I think that's going to be very, very helpful. So anything else you want to throw in? Okay, thank you.
I did have a question.
Yeah.
Are all the school districts represented on this test group?
Well, they were all invited. So the ones that were represented when we went was St. Charles, Aurora, Elgin. And I don't think Geneva and Batavia were present, but they were invited. So it would certainly be good for us to encourage our neighboring districts to go. All superintendents were invited in the county. So I don't know whether superintendents or representatives of smaller districts there. No, but there was some interesting, insightful information from Elgin and Aurora. And I actually spoke with some Aurora people, and Elgin had some interesting ideas. So as we kind of move forward, there's some idea sharing that can go on at the district level. But I think it would be good for us to always encourage our partners in the county to participate. So
Very good.
Okay, thank you.
I know you had a couple things. Is that it, those two?
That was it. The only other thing I wanted to update was intergovernmental, which I know you're going to do. The construction is been prolonged, so I don't know if you're going to talk about that. So,
which construction?
On Main Street. So last month I reported that it was supposed to end in August.
I said finish before school. It was going to be in my report.
Yep. So no. My update from the city is that IDOT has updated them that it is going to go until September. So that is something, obviously, I'm sure the district is aware that we'll have to adjust and deal with. So that's IDOT, so nobody get mad.
Yeah, it's not a city.
Don't start putting it on Facebook about how the city and school district are horrible. that is IDOT, and there's nothing you can do to control that, unfortunately. So last I heard that they are behind. So now, I don't know if that is the last, because that is ever-changing. So, but that's what I heard. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much. For my report, I just do have, I would like to thank Mr. Mannheim for going to Hoffman Estates last week to represent the school district in front of the, I think there were 10 or 20 state government partnerships that were celebrated. And our wonderful partnership with the Park District was asked to be represented, and you were the perfect person to go. And then what do you know? The governor showed up. So I hope that picture gets it onto our new website there. Anyway, thank you.
It was an honor to be there as part of that celebration. As the lieutenant governor's kind of thing she started to celebrate, or not celebrate, but encourage partnerships between municipalities. And is from the Norris Center. It's the D303 and the Park District's joint kind of venture there with our intergovernmental agreement that we have there, and they're doing a great job. And it just shows that we got, I mean, another accolade there for that partnership. And it was exciting. The governor was there, and they talked about how Illinois has 1,000 more different units of government than the state of Texas. So it's kind of surprising to, you know, I knew we had a lot, but when you hear it in kind of context to that, and they're trying to encourage more of this sharing. And it was kind of, they pulled three different groups and how they work together. Like one was emergency management system. And it was just neat to see like all these other kind of people working together to share services to help reduce the tax burden, you know, on the citizens of Illinois. So it's a good thing.
So. Got well for us. Thank you very much. I attended the intergovernmental meeting on Thursday, July 12th. A couple things that relate to the school district in particular. At that time, America in Bloom was here, so I wonder how that is going to work out for any recognition by that group. But they are going to have their national conference here next July 15th to the 17th. So that's something we'll be hearing about. The Fairview Park over southwest of here is going to have some more improvements, including a sidewalk or an area for walking exercise. Yes, the bridge was going to be finished before school, and that's not going to happen. The city talked also about a couple of taxes that they were examining, and there really wasn't conversation about it. There was just, they were talking about it. They voted since that time. Library District, they are having a group come in to examine the building needs and condition, including the mechanical systems and redoing things that might need to be redone. I don't have a date for it, but in August they were going to have a public online auction for miscellaneous, whether it's furniture or books or just different things they have. So I would just direct you to that website if you were interested in seeing what they were putting out for auction. And then they also mentioned that they are three longtime library trustees will not be running again in the fall, and that if the board, our board, knew of people who were interested in serving in that capacity, to just kind of get the word out. Because I think it's a big change for them to have such a far-reaching change. And then that was it. We are going to be meeting Thursday at 7:30 at the St. Charles Library, and I would just like to ask if any board member did want to go, just let me know, and we'll be there. I believe that Dr. Pearson will not be there, so somebody's got to represent, right?
That's right.
Okay.
Is that the 7:30?
7:30, yes. Would you like to do it?
Yeah.
Well, you'll see. Yeah. Just give me a, you know, pass me a note. Yeah. Just so I know. And that is it for my committee report. The next item on the agenda is the four action items. So may I have a motion for the placement of the fiscal year 2018-2019 Community Unit School District 303 budget to be put on public display and to schedule a public hearing?
So
moved. Mr. McNally.
Second.
Mr. Mannheim is the second. Is there any discussion about that? I don't think so. This is just simply, as Mr. Mannheim said, why we moved the meeting up so we can get a full 30 days in. Would you take the roll?
Mrs. Linkemer.
Hopping through it, yes.
Mr. Mannheim.
Yes.
Mr. McNally.
Yes.
Ms. Weibel.
Yes.
Mrs. Fairgreen.
Yes.
Mrs. Yule.
Yes, the motion carries unanimously. The second item is I would like a motion for the placement of the fiscal year 2018-2019 Mid-Valley Special Education Co-op budget to be put on public display and to schedule a public hearing.
So moved.
Mrs. Linkemer.
Second.
And Mr. Mannheim. Any discussion of that? No? Would you take the roll, please?
Mr. Mannheim.
Yes.
Mr. McNally.
Yes.
Ms. Weibel.
Yes.
Mrs. Fairgreen.
Yes.
Mrs. Linkemer.
Yes.
Mrs. Yule.
Yes, motion carries. The last vote of the day is, well, yeah, the next item, I should say, is the consent agenda. Would anyone like to remove any item from the consent agenda? May I have a motion to approve the consent agenda?
So moved.
Ms. Weibel?
And
a
second.
A second, Ms. Fairgreen. Any discussion about this? No? Good. Would you take the roll, please?
Mr. McNally.
Yes.
Ms. Weibel.
Yes.
Mrs. Fairgreen.
Yes.
Mrs. Linkemer.
Yes.
Mr. Mannheim.
Yes.
Mrs. Yule.
Yes, the motion carries. And thank you for the gifts and donations, as I see in item M. It was very, very good of Storm and the other person. Item 7 is for information, which includes numerous Freedom of Information Act requests. Item B is the CUSD3 financial report for June. And C is the Mid-Valley Financial Report for June 2018. Does anybody have anything they want to ask about, in particular, the financial reports? No? Are there any items for new business? No? Oh.
Not really, but I was just saying, our meeting,
Thank you.
On Wednesday, the Norris Advisory Committee, we're meeting on Wednesday to hear an update from Dr. Chapman and So all good things. Numbers continue to go up, so it's a good thing. But we try to get together quarterly, so this is going to be our quarterly meeting. So,
mm-hmm. Will you report on that at the next meeting?
I will, yeah. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Or business services, which do you
I'll do it at the board meeting, too.
Okay.
I can do it both. It doesn't mm-hmm. matter. So, yeah.
Okay. Thank you. That's good. Actually, for new business, I just am going to let you know that on Wednesday, I'll have a conference call with Dr. Pearson and Laura Martinez for our workshop. And after that, I'll have an agenda. And I'll also ask for any additions or anything like that. But just so you know, that'll come out after Wednesday. Okay? That said, we're going to go to closed session. And I don't know, are we meeting for litigation? Okay.
Just the first three.
Okay. So may I have a motion to adjourn to closed session by roll call vote for the purposes of 1, student discipline, 2, the appointment, employment, compensation, discipline, performance, or dismissal of specific employees of the public body or legal counsel for the public body, including hearing testimony on a complaint lodged against an employee of the public body or against legal counsel for the public body to determine its validity. And the third is security procedures and the use of personnel and equipment to respond to an actual, a threatened, or reasonably potential danger to the safety of employees, students, staff, the public, or the public or public property. May I have that motion?
So moved.
Ms. Weibel and Ms. Linkemer is a second. Would you take the roll call?
Ms. Weibel?
Yes.
Mrs. Fairgreen?
Yes.
Mrs. Linkemer?
Yes.
Mr. Mannheim?
Yes.
Mr. McNally?
Yes.
Sure.
Yes. Motion carries.
Session, it is 8:50. Would you do the roll, please? Mm-hmm.
Here.
Mr. Manheim?
Here.
Mr. McNally?
Here.
Ms. Weibel?
Here.
Mrs. Beargrief?
Here.
Ms. Sewell?
Here.
Board is all present. May I have a motion on student discipline for student E171813?
The School Board of St. Charles School District 303 reviewed the hearing report of its appointed hearing officer in closed session in the matter of the discipline of student E171813 pursuant to section 10-22.6 of the Illinois School Code. And on the basis of all testimony and evidence presented at the hearing, the board has determined that student E171813 is guilty of gross misconduct as set forth in the attached written decision. And the board has further determined that student E171813's out-of-school suspension was justified and the student should be expelled from St. Charles High School, North High School in District 303. Therefore, the school board has determined that student E171813's suspension is upheld and the student is expelled for the 2018-2019 school year.
May I have a second?
Second.
Any other discussion about this? None heard? Would you take the vote, please?
Mr. Manheim?
Yes.
Mr. McNally?
Yes.
Ms. Weibel?
No.
Mrs. Fairgreath?
Yes.
Mrs. Linkemer?
Yes.
Mrs. Sewell?
Yes. Motion carries. We have a second item, which is, may I have a resolution directing an issuance of a notice to remedy? May I have that motion?
Is this me as the board again, secretary again? Am I to read this in, or?
I think this is all I have to say.
Okay.
Okay, so I'm looking for a resolution directing an issuance of a notice to remedy. May I have a motion?
So moved.
Mr. Manheim, in a second?
Second.
Ms. Fairgreath. Is there any more discussion about this? No? None heard? Please take the vote.
Mr. McNally?
Yes.
Ms. Weibel?
Yes.
Mrs. Fairgreath?
Yes.
Mrs. Linkemer?
Yes.
Mr. Manheim?
Yes.
Mrs. Hewell?
Yes. The motion carries. Thank you, everyone. May I now have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
You all heard that as well. Mr. McNally? Mm-hmm. All in favor? Say aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed? Not heard? We are adjourned. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
You'll be getting little messages from me.